is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Here at Bible Home Church, I have a wonderful message to start today, a new series entitled How to Succeed in Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. That's right. I'm turning into a traitor. Norman Vincent Peale and Zig Ziglar and Napoleon Hill and all those other guys had all those success books. You know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, sort of the Dale Carnegie thing. And all of these positive thinking and positive confession motivational sermons and talks these people had. Oh, they've got rich from them. Well, I've just decided to join them all. I hope you folks don't mind here at Bible Home Church. Is that all right? Oh, you don't like that too much. You don't want me to be like Norman Vincent Peale. Well, okay. All right. Well, I'll keep mine scriptural. How's that sound? Okay. You know, a lot of people don't think that the Bible is positive, but it is. But sometimes it exposes false positiveness. You know, Adolf Hitler called the new spirituality that he and his cohorts developed, they called it the positive Christianity. Positive Christianity. But it wasn't. And in Isaiah chapter, I believe it's chapter 12 through 14, you can read about Lucifer. And he makes a lot of positive statements there, how he's going to dethrone God. But he lied. Not everything positive is good, but today we're going to talk about the scriptural things that are good. And you're going to learn, you're going to discover some secrets. That's right. Some secret paths to success. You can succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams, and you don't need to read the Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schiller, Zig Ziglar books. Now, before we start that, let me tell you right now, one way to get on the road to success is to prepare for Beulah Land. That's a sort of a secret code name, isn't it, among us Christians? Now, don't tell anybody outside the Christian fold about it, but Beulah Land is sort of a symbol of heaven. And the Gaither Vocal Band on their Southern Classics album recently did a tune that's just very, very pretty, called Sweet Beulah Land. And we're going to have that now for you. Here are the Gaithers to sing Sweet Beulah Land, and then Pastor Tex Moores, that's me. I have to keep reminding myself of my name. And I'll be back with How to Succeed in Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams right after this.
To win. which I've never been before. No set bars will there be spoken, and time won't matter
You know, friends, a lot of people want to know how to get ahead in life, how to succeed. And people from every walk of life are concerned that they just won't be able to keep up with the Joneses. Now, I could simply say, trust and rely on Jesus Christ and everything will be okay, and that would be true, but there's so much more in the Bible. We start with that premise, of course, because that's the foundation to build on that rock. And we're going to build onto that foundation today and in weeks to come as we look at this subject of how to succeed in life beyond your wildest dreams. Now, you may say, well, this is a program that I'm not interested in. These talks by Tex Mars, because I'm just a housewife. I can't succeed anyway. I just got to do my old humdrum everyday job as a housewife, as a mother. You might say, well, you know, I'm just a retiree. I'm not out in the business world anymore. I don't have to worry about those things. You might think that you're exempt from considerations of how to succeed, but that's not so. Because wherever you are, whatever station of life, whatever stage you are on right now of life, the fact is you have opportunities to succeed. Yes, as a housewife. And by the way, I think that's probably that in being a mother, that is probably the greatest occupation you can have. And if you're not successful as a mother, well, I pity you. if you're not successful as a wife or a husband, having nothing to do with the job or making money, and even if you don't have children, you need to know how to be a success. See, there's many ways to be successful in society. I'm not just talking about making money, although I'll bet you thought I was right away. I bet you thought this was some kind of a business motivational series we were going to start today. Well, you see, the principles of the Bible relate to all of life, everything there is. I remember the IRS agent visiting and auditing our ministry some years ago. And they said, you know, you're involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. I said, like what? They said, well, you talk about law and medicine and politics. And I said, well, Christ, you know, isn't just left behind at the church door, is he? Don't Christians take Jesus Christ everywhere they go? And aren't all of these fields of human endeavor involved with spirituality and with our Lord Jesus? And the agent said, well, you need to just stick with religion. But what is religion? Now, I want to talk to you today about how to be successful. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life or what you want to be a success in. And the principles that we're going to be talking about are indisputable. Now, you can go out and you can pay $398 for a course on this at Dale Carnegie. You can fly to California and go to the Crystal Cathedral and hear Robert Schuller give his motivational talks. Or you can pay $39.95 to hear Zig Ziglar give a motivational address in an auditorium. But I think you're just wasting your money. I'm not trying to be critical of them, but you know, the Bible has the answers you need. And we're going to talk about those. We're going to start with something that is very powerful. I call it the sevenfold plan of success in life. You may want to get out a pen and write these things down. Sevenfold plan of success in life. Sevenfold plan. I'm going to give you the seven key words. Write these down, because these can change your life. First, there's praise. First, there's praise. Second, there's thanks. Third is fear. Let me start back again. If you're like me, you're a little slow. I'm a little old, so I write a little slow. Maybe you do too. Oh, you're probably faster than me, but let me do it anyway, just in case there's a couple out there that write a little slower than Tex Morris does. First is praise, second is thanks, third is fear, F-E-A-R, fourth is trust, fourth is trust, fifth is love, L-O-V-E, love, sixth, obey, and seventh, walk, W-A-L-K, walk. So we have a sevenfold plan of success. We're going to discuss each one of these key words. Hope you've written them down now. There's praise, thanks, fear, trust, love, obey, and walk. And I want to give you a scripture from the Bible on each one of these. And let's discuss them a little bit. Because I believe these are the seven ways that you can ensure success. This is laying a foundation and even building the walls and putting the roof on it. Well, actually, a little later on, we're going to have a roof. We're going to have a roof. And you know what? In addition to these seven, the sevenfold plan of success, well, next week we're going to talk about the five pillars or legs for strength and support and stability. So we're going to build you a house today. Then later we're going to talk about five pillars of support, of additional strength for the house we're going to build. Let's start off with this key word of praise. I love Psalm 117. It reads, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. I like that verse. You notice that it implores every person, all the people, to praise God. And then, not just as individuals, but as nations, to praise God. I really believe the nation that praises God, if its people would just reach out here in America, if we could as one praise God, what a great nation we would be. It would be so, well, it'd be stunning. I guess that's not to be, because God has his prophetic determinations, but wouldn't it be wonderful? And you know, someday you and I will be in a place, if we trust Jesus, we're going to be in a place where everyone there daily praises God as one. Won't that be wonderful? I like this verse because it gives the reason. Why should you praise God? It says, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. He's merciful, he's kind, and he's truthful. And he will be forever. You know, this whole verse here, I could preach 10 sermons just on this one verse. And it ends with another. Praise ye, it begins with, oh, praise the Lord, and it ends with, praise ye the Lord. That's pretty good. That's a great praise verse of Scripture, isn't it? Psalm 117. You know, I had an evangelist friend some years ago, and we were talking about praising God, and he says, you know, a lot of Christians, whenever you give them some good news or something, the first thing they say is, praise God. And he says, you know, I wonder if they really understand it, or is it just become sort of something you say? Do they really mean it, he says. And I said, well, I think, brother, a lot of them do mean it. Of course they do. I know I do. And he says, but Tex, what I mean is, do they really know that when you praise God, that God inhabits those praises? And you know, I began to think about that. Now this is a shocking way of thinking, a whole revolutionary way of living. Think about that. It actually says it in the Bible that God inhabits the praises of his people. Now let's look at inhabits. What does that mean? He lives there. Do you want God to live with you? How about in your home? You know how to get God to live in your home? Praise him. He'll come to live with you. You say, oh, Tex, that's what he says. You know, I like the verse in the Bible. There's the wonderful old piece of art. I remember there's a picture of Jesus. I think it was painted by Warner Solomon. And there is Jesus knocking on the door. It looks like an old ancient door of maybe a farmhouse or something out in the country. And there's Jesus just knocking on the door. Doesn't seem like anybody's opening up. But it makes you hope that they will at any moment open that door and find the Lord standing there. Because he says in the book of Revelation that he's at the door knocking. And if you will open the door, he will go in and sup with you. How would you like to have Jesus for supper? You say, oh my goodness, I better run by the food store. I better make sure I have the right ingredients. Well, I think he's got some manna from heaven. You don't have to worry about what you're going to prepare for Jesus. But the point I'm trying to make, friends, is this. If you want Jesus to inhabit your life, your home, your everyday existence, just start praising him. Praise him in everything that happens in your life. You say, well, Tex, some things bad happen. Okay, praise him anyway. You mean you're only going to praise God when the good things happen? That's sort of ungrateful, isn't it? Because you know all things work together for good. For those who have Christ Jesus. So, praise. Now, a second key word I want you to remember, my friends, is thanks. While you're praising God, give him thanks. Let me read to you from Psalm 118. We've just moved up one psalm. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now, the previous verse I just gave you said, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Here it says, his mercy endureth forever. And that's why we should give thanks to him. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Thanks. You know, a lot of people stop for just a moment before they eat a meal and they give thanks to the Lord. I think that's good. But there's a lot more to give thanks than just what you eat. You ask God to bless that food. You know, the Bible says that many people get sick because they don't ask God to bless their food. That's an astonishing thing. What does it mean? I'm going to just tell you. You're going to say, Tex, that's you're not being scientific. I don't care what you say. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. I believe if there's bacteria or something bad in your food that you don't know about, I believe it's possible that God will keep you well if you eat it unknowingly. Say, Tex, do you have any scientific proof of that? No, I don't. I just have God's word. But I believe it. And I suspect if there was some scientific test run of tainted food, you'd find out I'm telling you the truth. I think he supernaturally protects his people. Now, obviously, you don't get some food out of your icebox and it's got mold and decay all over it. And you say, well, I'll just eat it anyway. Just ask God to bless it and it'll be all right. Well, I don't mean that. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't try to put him to the test. But on the other hand, he knows how to protect his own. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You say, well, this bad thing happened to me. Doesn't seem to be too good to me. Oh, now don't blaspheme God by saying he's bad, because something bad happened in your life. You know, my friend, sometimes the bad things happen to you for instruction, for chastening, and things work out all right. You know, the greatest discoveries of life come sometimes when you're down in the valley. Then you start looking up. Way, way down in the pit, then you start looking up. I remember reading a story about a man who fell down a well, and he was stuck down there, and he couldn't move at all. And they asked him what he remembered the most. He said, I remembered 2 feet shaft of light up there where the well met the sky. He said, I wasn't interested in anything but that. I could see that light. 2 feet wide of light, a shaft of light up there. Well, they rescued the man, and think about that. When he was down there, stuck in that pit, the only thing he could see was the light. Well, you know, sometimes, my friend, you and I get stuck in a pit, and it's time to look for the light. And there really is a silver lining in a lot of bad things that happen to us. Well, we've only covered 2 keys of the sevenfold plan of success. But next week, we're going to talk about fear. You may not think about fear as being something good, but it is. That's biblical. We're going to talk about fear and trust and love and much more next week as we continue our series, How to Succeed in Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.